Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all the issues of The Jinx, a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back directly to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable. And the answer, of course, is just about all of them, but some of the things need some tweaking. We're looking at issue number 4 today, which contains the editorial from Theodore Animan, The Master of the Message from Animan, Cigarette Perception from Martin Sunshine, Cardbox Sympathy, Orville Wayne Meyer, One of Those Things by Calvin Cole, Something to Work On by Vincent Dalban, and The 20th Century Newspaper Test from Stuart Robson. Let's kick it off with the editorial from Animan. In this 4th editorial, there's not really much in the way of news of the day. He talks about The Jinx and how it's going after 4 issues. He says he has enough material for 2 years of issues, even if nobody submits anything. The dude was prolific. But he reminds people that he pays for good tricks, and then reminds people that after he pays for them, he can change the title, the descriptions, the explanations, and so on and on and on as he sees fit. He calls out a paragraph in Hugard's new book, Close-Up Magic, that tells close-up workers to make sure their hands look good, and Animan agrees wholeheartedly. Not sure if there was a rash of mechanics doing shows without washing their hands after work or what, but that's followed by mention of Animan's last book, Shh, It's a Secret, that has been out of print and sold out for 2 months. And he's offering $2 a copy for any he can get in good condition because he knows he can sell them for $3 a copy. He finishes with thanks for people who sent Christmas cards to The Jinx. And that's it for the editorial. The first magic effect in this issue is called The Master of the Message and is from Animan himself. Let me quote the first paragraph. When this first dawned on me, I thought it a very funny idea. But about a week later, I had the opportunity to do it before a party of about 15 men, and the way it turns out leads me to believe that it is of real value. Certainly nothing could be simpler or of a more impromptu nature. Okay, so here's the actual effect. Give a piece of paper about 3 by 4 inches to someone. Ask them to write the name of a famous person, a city, or something like that. Have them folded in half, then in half again, so none of the writing can be seen. Saying you will attempt an experiment in direct thought reading, you try, but fail. So you ask the writer to hand the paper to someone else to read so that you've got more than one mind sending to you. In fact, you ask that even a couple more people read it, and the last one refolds it up and hands it to you. Crumpling it in your hand, you concentrate, and then reveal the information that everyone is transmitting to you. So there are no duplicates, no switches, and no sleight of hand needed for this. You will need a friend in the audience, but there are no codes or signals that need to be memorized. It really is a good effect that could be done impromptu. Well, as long as you and your buddy are in the same place. There is one problem with the method that Animan kind of waves away. But if you're familiar with the constraint that Acidus Novus puts on you, you'll understand what I'm talking about and we'll know how to get around that. In any case, this article is in issue 4 of The Jinx. It's worth reading, and you can do that night or day at jinxnavigator.com. Okay, here's the effect I mentioned in the last podcast, Cigarette Perception from Martin Sunshine. It was probably a great effect back in the day when more people smoked, but I think the idea behind this method could be used for non-smoking purposes. The original effect goes like this. You say that your sense of smell is so acute, you can tell one cigarette from the other from the smell of the smoke. 4 people, each with a different brand of cigarette, are chosen and you are blindfolded. The cigarettes are now lit, and one at a time and in a mixed order, your 4 helpers approach you and wave their cigarette under your nose. Each time, you instantly and correctly name the brand. For your finale, any 2 of the helpers come forward and wave their cigarettes under your nose at the same time, and you are still able to discern which ones they are. The blindfold used in this effect is not gimmicked. Nobody is signaling to you as to which cigarette is being held up, and you don't actually have to have a sense of smell at all to do this. So if you're one of those folks who go out with others for a smoke break at work, this might be right up your alley. For the rest of us, the method is another little thing to put in your toolbox for possible use someday. I can imagine scenarios that don't require anybody to light up. And in fact, even though there's not a lot of, or not as many cigarette smokers around as there used to be, there are these cigar places around where people gather to smoke. And so doing this and being able to tell what cigar people are smoking could be really strong. You can get all the details in the article at jinxnavigator.com. Orville Wayne Meyer is a name we've heard before in the Jinx, and he's back with Card Box Sympathy, which requires a specific prop, the P&L Metal Card Box, which was available for about $5 back in the 1920s, but it's going for about $400 now. There are cheaper options around, I think, so let's take a look at the effect. You choose a card from a blue-backed deck and have a spectator initial it and it's dropped face up into a box. Sidebar, if the person initials it, then they are a participant, not a spectator, right? Using the word spectator for the person helping you always bugs me, so I won't be doing that from here on out. Now you have the helper choose a face-down card from a shuffled red-backed deck and you initial it. It's dropped face down on the first card in the box, and the lid is closed. When the helper opens the box, the cards are seen to be the same, one from a blue deck, one from a red deck, and both initialed. I don't have a card box, a card case, not even one of the cheap plastic ones, so I couldn't try this one out. But I went through the method several times mentally, and I have to call BS on this. It's quite possible. I'm just not understanding something due to a particular way that card box works, the P&L metal card box. But the handling and the method just doesn't make sense to me. This is directly from the instructions. The lid of the card box is allowed to close, but the performer immediately reopens it as an afterthought, and this time he opens the false compartment and shows the audience the five of diamonds face up and alone in the box. This is supposedly the card that the helper just initialized, but it's not, and it has no initials on it. So how is that supposed to be a convincer that your audience is seeing the same card? The effect sounds really good, so I want to believe that the P&L metal card box has properties that I just don't get, or that the instructions were somehow jumbled when it was printed, but I don't believe the effect can be performed as written. If you have one of those card boxes, please go to issue number 4 at jinxnavigator.com and try the effect and let me know if it's actually workable or not. Now for something that doesn't require a prop from the 1920s, but does require something else that is not as common as it used to be. Change in someone's pocket. This is from Calvin Cole and it's called One of Those Things. And with everybody having a calculator in their pocket today, this can be done anytime, anywhere. Have someone enter their age into the calculator and multiply it by 2. Then they'll add 5 and multiply that result by 50. Ask them to subtract 365, and then dig all of the change out of their pocket and add that amount to the total. They tell you the final number, and with great concentration, you will tell them not only how old they are, which of course is more impressive with a stranger, but also how much change they're carrying in their pocket. So, okay, it's not a David Blaine or a Darren Brown kind of effect, but not everything has to be. As far as the method goes, you do need to be able to add 115 to a bigger number while pretending that you're not doing math in your head. But if you can do that, you're all set. Anwin points out that personal angles, such as someone's age, always attract more interest than impersonal numbers. And if you know any kind of numerology, you can do a quick reading based on their age to give the effect a little more depth. Or just keep it quick and light and fun. Next in issue number 4 of the Jinx is an effect, but no method. In Something to Work On, Vincent Dalban writes to Anneman with a plot for a trick. A pack of cards is shuffled, and while your back is turned, the helper deals the cards face up, calling out each card as he does. Every so often he deals one card, but calls out the name of a different card. Whenever he does this, you know he's lying and you call him on it. Vincent says he likes the effect but hasn't found a way to do it and asks Anneman to see if readers of the Jinx can help him out. And Anneman offers a one-year subscription to anyone who can give him a workable method. Spoiler, someone comes along in issue number 5 with a method that does the trick. But it really depends on a certain level of skill that the helper must have in shuffling cards. I'm thinking a switch and a stack would give you better results, but I'm 91 years too late to win the subscription. The final effect in issue number 4 of The Jinx is the 20th century newspaper test by Stuart Robson. Yeah, a newspaper test, not a book test. And like changing your pocket, newspapers are getting pretty rare these days. However, there are still enough around that it's not completely out of touch. So flip through the paper, find the classified ads, and rip out that page. Give it to someone for later. With the newspaper now closed, rip off all the top corners containing the page numbers, throw those into a hat, and have someone mix them. Without looking, someone reaches in and grabs one corner, crumples it up, and drops it into your hand. Very openly, you hand it to the person holding the want ads and step away from them. They can now choose either page number on the corner piece, one side has one page, one side has the next page, and count to that column. Then use the other number, the other side of the piece, and count down that many ads. They read the ad to themselves, concentrate on what it says, and you are able to reveal that information. It's pretty straightforward. There is memorization required for this effect, but very little. You're not going to reveal the ad word for word, just what it's about. There's also a switch required. Nobody's surprised about that? Okay. But the method as written makes it sound really easy, as it uses one of those thumb things and not sleight of hand. Dig into the details of that in issue number 4 of The Jinx. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of The Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. You know how much it costs? Nothing. It's free. Use the contact form on that site. Give me some feedback, what you like, what you don't like. If you got any suggestions, I'll listen to them all. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 5, which includes an effect that just kind of blows my mind. And not necessarily in a good way. If you want a sneak peek, go look at With Sight Unseen in the 5th issue. I can't believe it actually works. I really can't believe it. Thanks for your help spreading the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast, and I will see you next week.